Hallelujah. Well, hope you've been having a good time. I'm really surprised they gave me an afternoon service because I'm not real good at keeping people awake. You know, I preach like I'm standing in a 5-gallon bucket most of the time. But I do have the teacher's anointing. I'm not really a pastor, so if I see you falling asleep, I have a long ruler. You know, or I'll say, no, elbow that one, elbow, you know. Hallelujah. Peggy, would you mind to come up here for a moment? I don't know if you have met Evangelist. Peggy, I'll tell you why I call her Evangelist here in just a moment. She is the walking epitome of the first verse I'm going to use today in today's lesson. Hi, Peggy. Say hi.
Hi.
She has no idea what I brought her up. She's in fear and trembling. She's coming, you know. Peggy, if you don't know, is 95 years young. Yeah. In many ways, I think she's the youngest person here. And she amazes me because where she lives, she doesn't have a real good internet service and all where she lives. There's not even hardly any phone service there up in the mountains, right?
Yeah, we have no cell phones.
No cell phones at all. So she goes to the library, gets on the computer at the library. Everyone say out loud, 95. Finds the website, downloads the MP3s, transfers them to a thumb drive. Am I correct? Right?
Well, you're getting close.
I'm getting close.
I don't do it quite like I used to do it.
Oh, that's because, how you used to do it.
Yeah, because I get to the library now, you know, every week.
Okay.
And I can listen to it in the library.
Oh, okay. So now she does...
So I don't always have to make CDs.
What, did you hear that part?
No.
So she doesn't always have to make CDs out of... So, pardon me. Get over yourself. Okay? You can do this. You can do this.
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
She says, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Now, that's right. All right? Now, I'm going to ask you to turn around. I want them to see your evangelizing. Now, if you can't see, I'm going to turn this way for just a minute. Every garment that I've ever seen her wear
for 3 years,
every garment has this on the back. In case you can't read it, I'm going to read it. It's Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then it says, ask me why. I think we ought to stand and give honor to Peggy Elliott, Evangelist Peggy Elliott. Amen, amen. You're a blessing, you're a blessing. Thank you so much. Now, if you'd really like to have some fun, last year when she was here, I had the honor of taking her and my 94-year-old mother out to lunch. There are no words. It was a hoot. It was a riot. Well, do open to that verse, Romans 1, verse 16. This is the year of power. And he kept giving me these messages that I thought I was going to hold off until the conference. And then he would say, go ahead and teach it, like a week or two before the conference. And then he would give me another one. I said, okay, that's my conference message. And then he would have me teach that one. So it's just been building and building. So I'm excited about what he's going to say today. Now, for those of you that are concerned that I'm going to teach out of my experience, I cannot but tell what I have seen and heard. And we're going to have a lot of word, and we may have a lot of experience at the same time. But I cannot but tell what I have seen and heard. And your testimony is part of your witness. Go and tell what great things the Lord has done for thee. Amen. Just walking in. Brother, where are you? The one that I talked to coming into the building just a few minutes ago, and he was telling me the testimony about your heart. Are you here? Here he comes, right here. Let me get a microphone. Tennessee. You're going to be next, if you don't mind. It's good to give your testimony and your witness. And this is family, you know. This is a brother. Some of you, we haven't all met our brother here yet. You can tell we have the same daddy, right?
Amen.
You see the family resemblance, amen. Right? Amen, amen. All right. Just tell what happened.
Well, I guess it's maybe back in 14, maybe 13. I was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. And so I knew Gary had something similar, so I had a chance to sit down with him and ask him what he did, and he just encouraged me, and he told me to do the message, and so that's what I did. I went to the hospital in, when was it, 13? Right after we left the conference, I was admitted to the hospital, and came out of the hospital in December or November, something like that, right? I'm getting my coach here to give me all the... all the details. But at any rate, they told me I had congestive heart failure as a result of all that. And so I just continued to believe God. And April of 14, I went back to the doctor, and they could not find any signs of congestive heart failure.
Hallelujah.
So we give God the praise. Amen.
Doing the message.
Doing the message. That's it. Doing the message.
Amen. Amen. If you don't mind. This is our Tennessee contingent, one of them.
Hallelujah. In May of this year, I went for my annual mammogram, and they came back, oh, we need to do that again, we need to do this. End result was they found breast cancer after the whatever they do. Anyway, so I thank God for somebody sharing their experiences. Because had it not been for that, I don't know what I would have done. See, I've been coming for years and years and years to these conferences. And the story that came to me when I got that prognosis was, what can you believe me for? So I said, Father, I believe we'll remove the lump. And they're not going to find any cancer in the lymph nodes. So we removed the lump, and there was no cancer in the lymph nodes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I can't tell you the times I've heard Pastor Dave share experience after experience after experience. And I'm going to tell you something. Had it not been for all of these testimonies, me and some of the people that have come with me over the years would not be standing still today.
That's right.
So you better be willing to share what God has done. And as you walk through, how he walks you through. You can't share it with everybody, but this is a place of safety.
Amen.
And a place of refuge, and I thank God for it.
Isn't that awesome? Justin's conference last year. Now, my daughter Angie has no idea what I'm about to do. I didn't know I was going to do it till now either. This is my daughter Angie. Because of her, because she handles everything else, I have no excuse not to pray and fast. A couple of years ago, maybe when I think it, okay, the lung thing. Tell them the lung thing.
Yes, I was having pain in my back, which ended up being a lump in my lung. And not funny at the time. But they ended up doing 2 PET scans, CAT scans. There was adhesions. There was a lump on my left lung. Then they found one on the right lung. And, of course, the same thing came to my mind as what Daddy's testimony. But I also just stood on the Word and listened to nothing but my dad and Dave's teachings during that time. And the end result of that, all the adhesions, both lumps were completely gone in a matter of about 6 months.
Hallelujah.
I have totally clear lungs now.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Now, I could probably go around this room and find testimony after testimony after testimony. Not all of us are called to be evangelists, but all of us are called to be a witness. And one good way to witness is to go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. And maybe you've never had a healing, but if you were lost, I remember. I know what it is to be lost. And if you were lost and you found the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. And it's good to share that with people. So hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 1, Paul says, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek." Now there's two Greek words normally translated power. One of them is exousia, which is commonly translated authority. But this one is the Greek word dunamis. And it's where we get our Greek, or where we get our English word dynamite. Say it with me. The gospel is the power of God. Say it this way. The gospel is the power of God. Say it this way. The gospel is the dynamite of God. The gospel is the explosive power of God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Now go to John 17. If you like a lot of word, you're going to get a lot of word today. Hallelujah. I believe in both. I believe in the word and giving your testimony. Okay, the gospel is the power of God. Where did we get this gospel? How do we know what the gospel is? Who is the messenger of the gospel? When we say gospel, yes, sir. A friend of mine gave me some quotes, and I have them queued up on my phone ready where I can quote them exactly, because it fits today's message so perfectly. This is, how many know who Leonard Ravenhill was? Great English revivalist and evangelist. He was a no-nonsense preacher. Passed away in 1994. And see, the gospel is the power of God. The problem is, what's preached today as the gospel very little resembles the gospel brought to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Leonard Ravenhill said, even in his generation, he said, "If Jesus had preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified." Now, that's the truth. It really is. Been so watered down, mamby-pamby, humanized, socialized, philosophized, where it doesn't even resemble the gospel that was brought to us by Jesus Christ. And even those of us that have pressed in quite a ways, as he's been showing me these last few weeks, I have got to become even more narrowly focused than I ever have before. It's like an iron sharpens iron, and he's sharpening my iron. I'm beginning to see some things. Anyway, you'll see as we go along here. So did you find John chapter 17? Now, John 17 to me is one of the they're all holy. But to me, that is like the holy of holies in the Bible, because you've got God the Son praying to God the Father. If there's a holy of holies in the Bible, I think that's it. Some of the things he said in here, well, all of the things he said are just astounding. But let's look. What I'm really after, now this is the question as he was leading me. First off, the gospel is the power of God. The thought in my mind, well now, who is the messenger of the gospel? Jesus said in John 17, look at verse 8. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." Notice he said, "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." You know, Jesus is the word of God. He did not add to. He did not take away from. He did not water down. Nor did he increase. He gave us the undiluted word of the Father. And not only that, he didn't just give us the words. He was the word manifested. He didn't just come to say God is a healer. He came to show us that God heals and to demonstrate that healing. That's why he said to Philip that time, Philip says, well, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And he says, well, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you don't know me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Now, from that verse is where I coined the phrase, Jesus is the Word of God with legs. He is the Word of God that can be seen. He's not just the words that you read off a page. If you meditate long enough in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's like the Christ rises up off the pages and into your heart somehow. And you can almost follow him through Galilee and follow him through those villages. One time I was meditating on the woman with the issue of blood so much that, and I don't want to exaggerate, but I almost like, whether in the body or not in the body, I'm not sure. I was so there. I was walking along. I could feel the sun on the back of my head walking through that crowd. And it was thronged. It was just packed. And I'm trying to stay up with Jesus and the whole crowd. In my mind, I'm there. And that woman comes out. And I witnessed that whole thing. And then we're walking again. And the thing that I had never thought of before. I'm looking at, you know, like Jerusalem would look like in my mind, you know. And there's two-story adobe-type buildings and everything, you know. And I'm wondering, how many sick people are in these rooms that didn't come to Jesus? How many could have been healed if they would have had the faith of that woman? How many more, see? It's amazing what happens when you really start meditating the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has a way of transporting you into it, and it becomes something else. So John 17:8, we know for sure who brought us these words. Who brought them to us? Jesus, I have given them the words that thou gavest me. Remember that fellow that said, no man ever spake like this man? Well, you got that right. He brought us the gospel. Sometimes I say it this way. There's only, you know, Jesus said, no man has descended from heaven except him who's going to ascend back up, you know. He said, no other man's come down from heaven. I say it this way. We've only had one visitor from that realm to here, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We've only had one that the Father has imparted these words to, and he has brought that. We've had prophets in the Old Testament. Hebrews talks about that. In divers times and ways, God has spoke to us in times past by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. All right? So say it with me. Jesus is the messenger of the gospel. He is the apostle of the Father. He brought to us the words, the gospel that the Father gave to him. All right? Come on down in John 17 to verse 14. He says, for I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now, he's speaking prophetically at this point because nobody was born again until after he was resurrected from the dead. But he's already calling those things that be not as though they were. We talked about that Sunday night. So he goes ahead and he says, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See that? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. That means set them apart from the world through thy truth. And forever, Jesus gave us the definition of truth. Thy word is truth. At my website, garycarpenter.org, the most popular message that has ever, the one that's been downloaded the most over all these years, is a message called Truth Changes Fact. See, we don't deny the facts. Ronald Reagan said, facts are stubborn things. We don't deny the facts. That's not what we're teaching at all. But facts, although they're very stubborn, they are what they are. But facts are not truth. Facts are temporal and subject to change, but God's word does not change. And if you will put your faith in God's word, His truth will change your facts. Amen. I recommend that message if you've never heard it. You can afford it. It's free. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, now go on to Matthew 28. So we've seen, number one, the gospel itself. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel, did we not read that? The gospel is the power of God. Who brought us the gospel? That's Jesus. You could say he's the apostle of the Father, apostle means messenger, the sent one. He's the one that came to bring us the very words, to bring us the gospel. We didn't have it before he came. Now, the reason we're going to 28, one of the main reasons, there is a very popular doctrine going around right now that doesn't always go under the banner of radical grace. Sometimes it's called other things. But in any event, every author that I have read, which is not all of them, but several, that under instruction of the Lord, without fail, somewhere in their writings, they will say something like this. Jesus was primarily sent to the Jews. You can't argue with that. Jesus was primarily sent to the Jews. But they say this. Therefore, much of his instruction, much of his teaching is not for the Christian today. It was only for the Jews. And you have to be very selective whether or not the words of Jesus apply to you as a Christian. And what they're doing then, they'll go, now if you haven't heard this, good. But let me tell you, it has caused major damage in this building, this church. It's caused major damage in other churches that I'm very familiar with. And if you take it far enough, it's going to take some people to hell. Now, and they actually say, oh, no, you can't necessarily live by the teachings of Jesus as a Christian. And they somehow say this. They say this. Only Paul has the real revelation of grace. As though Paul is teaching some different gospel than what Jesus brought. Now see, in order to refute that, all you got to do is go to Walmart and get even the cheapest King James Bible they have. Maybe $1.98. And turn to Matthew 28 and read verse 20. Well, verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Don't teach them what I taught. But wait until I train the Apostle Paul, because I'm going to give him a grace message that I didn't bring myself. How dumb can you be and still breathe? We've had very close people that's been at this a long time, people that love the Lord and they still love the Lord. Swallow that deception and leave not only here but other churches. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the true teacher of the body of Christ. And thank God for Dave Roberson. Thank God who taught us to meditate the word in whole images. Now let's see what he said. Teaching them to observe. Now first off, back up. See, I'm amazed at how religious tradition blinds our eyes. Do y'all know Peter loved God? Did Peter love Jesus? Did Peter make mistakes? Isn't that why we love Peter? We can all relate with Peter, amen? Peter loved Jesus. And there's so many things about Peter that were wonderful. Yet Peter, he's the very first one to ever preach to Gentiles. It was Cornelius' house, remember? Do you know that was nearly 10 years after Jesus was raised from the dead? Now think about this. And he wouldn't have gone with them because it was illegal for a Jew to go into a Gentile's house. He would not have gone with those men that came from Cornelius's house to get him. And God knew that. So he sent a vision all these years later. Here's Peter. He's waiting on lunch. Says they were preparing a meal. I know what you do. You go up and you pace, you know. When is it going to be ready? And all of a sudden, now this wasn't just a vision. This was a trance. He fell over. And, you know, thank God that we don't have too many of those, especially when you're driving or something, you know. And the vision, that sheet was let down three times and it had all the creepy crawlies in it. And the voice came and says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He says, no, Lord, nothing unclean, nothing unclean. And finally, that voice instructed him, these men that's coming, he says, "Call not that common which I have cleansed." Letting him know. And he said, "Go with those guys." Well, he went with the guys that had come. And here he's going into a Gentile's house. And you know he wouldn't have gone. Except God had to show him that vision. But then in the course of it, he's just teaching and God's salvation falls and the Holy Ghost falls. And before it's over, you got a tongue-talking Pentecostal beating. Isn't that right? Now that was years after Jesus was raised from the dead. But look at this. Look at this. Verse 19. "Go you therefore and teach only the Jews. Go you therefore and stay in Judea. Go you therefore and only around Jerusalem." He told them. He told them from the get-go. As soon as he was raised from the dead, during that first 40 days, he's going, "I want you to go into every nation." That means Gentiles. "I want you to teach them." Now look at verse 20. "What am I supposed to teach them when I go? You teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Paul, if he heard one of these new people today, I hope Paul walks in a lot of love. If he heard them even imply that he was teaching a different gospel than that which Jesus Christ taught, I hope he's walking in a lot of love. Otherwise, he's going to slap them silly. If it's possible to roll over in your grave, he'd go, "What?" I heard one preacher say recently, he said, "Well, these radical grace people, they love Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. But they sure don't like 4, 5, and 6. But anyway, that's another lesson." So Jesus here is commissioning. And if we'd have stayed in John 17, he says, "I'm not only praying for those that are here with me today." He says, "I'm praying for all down through the centuries, all that will believe on me through their word." See? So what's he doing here? He is commissioning the church. And sure, there's teachers and there's gifts. There's apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, so forth. But every believer should be able to teach these. You know, in Hebrews, writing just to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, the writer of Hebrews says, "By this time, you ought to be teachers." He doesn't mean everybody should be a pulpit teacher. No, he means on your job, your neighbors, your friends at the Walmart. You should be teachers of these things. We all have to become more equipped, more versed in the Word of God. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Holding forth the word of life, you know. At least John 3:16, get that one memorized, you know. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Get that one. Hallelujah. Amen. Go to Mark 16. Let's look at Mark's version now. This gospel that he brought, is full of power. The word of God is power. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." See, the Holy Ghost is the very power of God. Jesus himself says, "The Son of himself can do nothing. It's the Father in me, he doeth the works." But you notice Jesus himself, even though he never sinned and he is righteous and holy and was the Son of God, he himself never did any miracle until after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost himself. The Holy Ghost is the one that works with the Word, with signs following. It was that way in Jesus' ministry. It's that way in your ministry. Well, His ministry through you is the better way to say it. Now, this is Matthew and Mark's account are the same event. This is the same event. Now, watch this. They word it a little different. Verse 15 of Mark 16. Go you into all, and he said unto them, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, back up. Now, notice again. Go you unto only Jerusalem. Go you to only the Jews. He told them, go you into all the world and preach what? The gospel. The words that he brought from the Father. Preach it to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And he's not talking about Kentucky snake handling. You don't find anything like that in the Word of God. There is no witness to that whatsoever. The only thing you find is that time that snake crawled out of the fire and accidentally, from Paul's point of view, accidentally bit him on the hand and he thought he would die. But Paul was in the service of God. And I don't care what the devil attacks you with. When you're in the service of God, you can shake it off in the fire. And if your enemies try and poison you by, you know, drink any deadly thing, you have it in the red letters, it shall not hurt you. Do not be afraid. Okay? He never said nothing about taking those snakes and handling them. That's foolishness gone to seed. Ignorance before daylight and all that other good stuff. It shall not hurt them. Now, they shall lay hands on the sick and they sometimes recover. You don't get a stronger word than shall. They shall recover. Now, I'm just like you. Don't get me wrong. I'm preaching the word today. I'm not preaching my experience. You want me to preach my experience? I've laid hands on so many people that died. How many want to get here and have me lay hands on you right now? Huh? I have laid hands on so many that died. I've called Pastor Dave and we've been in agreement and prayed for that person and they still die. But bless God, not all of them died. The days are coming and is here now where we preach the word only. Preach the word only. Speak the word only. We're going to lose less and less and eventually we're not going to lose any of them. Because the gospel is the same. It is the power of God. That word salvation in America, we always think just being born again. But that's the derivative, Jim, Greek. Sozo, right? Sozo. It's derived from the word sozo. And that's when the blind man got healed, he got sozoed. Yeah, sozo, Greek word, sozo. When the woman with the issue of blood got healed, she got sozoed. When you got born again, you got sozoed. No, it's everything that the gospel pertains to. It's everything. And it's the word is the power of God. Now notice here at the end of this, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now notice the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Do you notice that word them is in italics? It's not really in there. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. He confirms the word. And it's all right to put them in there. He was working with them. But what the agency really that he was confirming was not them. Get over yourself. I got two good news for you. It's not you that's the secret of power. It's the Word. And I got another good news for you. It's not up to you to confirm it with signs following. He'll do the confirming. Thank you very much. One day it dawned on my mind. I took a big breath and went, oh, the miracles don't come from me. Thank God. If you knew me, you'd really thank God. No, the Lord working with them. Go to John 14. He's leaving my notes and it's scary. John 14, just for a moment. See, this has been like our launching pad. I remember all those years ago when we first started at the prayer center. Because I grew up in a church, and they loved Jesus. I don't really mean to be mean or ugly, but I grew up in a church where the only part of the gospel that's left is you can be born again. Now, and they do believe God can heal, but they never know if it's God's will to heal. So there's never any faith in that prayer at all. It's almost like, God, I know you could heal. We just don't know if you will heal because you're kind of a bad God. Might be in a bad mood today. Maybe hay fever season or something for you. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's... Anyway, in a way, it's worse than not believing anything at all. You don't... See, if you're really going to... Here's a homework assignment for you. I've already done it, so I know the answer. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about 30 times. See if you can ever find one person who came to Jesus for healing that they did not get what they come for. You won't find it. Every one of them. Now, sometimes he had to do some corrections. Sometimes there was a little bit. But the end result, every person that came for healing got what they came for. Without exception. Amen? Here's another one for you. Not one time did he ever say, yes, it's his will to heal you. But just not today. Come back Thursday. Or next Tuesday and we'll try again, you know. No. They got it every time. Good stuff. All right. John 14, look at verse 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And I left out the word works again because it's in italics. Great, it's okay to leave it, but greater than these. Greater than these? Blind eyes open? The lame walking? The deaf hearing? I love that one. It says, the maimed were made whole. And they glorified God. Meaning, this wasn't slowly over months. It happened during the service. They watched the leg grow out. We're talking revival now. We're talking when NBC, ABC, CBS, and the Fox News Network. But those will be broadcast worldwide. And it's going to be hard to deny when it happens not just once, but when it happens again, and it happens again, and it happens again. This is, you read Jesus' meetings when he got to have his way. We have a message that I've done a few times where we stayed just in the book of Matthew. So you know it wasn't the same account or two different accounts of the same meeting. Five separate gospel meetings that Jesus ran. And in those, he healed them all. And if he has his way, he will heal them all today. Amen? All right? Now, we've read that verse many times, but now let's go where it said a while ago, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with and confirming the word. Notice verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. I double dog dare you to say it out loud with me. Whatever I ask in his name. That's what he does. Verse 14. If I ask anything in his name, he will do it. Your assignment in the year of power now is to develop your faith in those two verses. Whatever it takes. You know how to get faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I've got those verses. These are my 3x5 verses right now. Whatever I ask in his name, he does it. And I worship him for it. I say, Lord, I worship you. If you hadn't have said it, I'd never believe it. You're the God who made everything. All things were made by you. Nothing was made without you. Yet you have given such authority to us that in your name, you have said it. You cannot lie. Whatever I ask in your name, you do it. Now you think the enemy's going to challenge that? Absolutely he's going to. Has he challenged you on anything else you tried to believe? Absolutely. But what happens if we don't quit? What happens if we endure? We will have what we believe. We'll have what we say. I'm telling you, we're coming into the year of power. He has told us plainly what this gospel is. He's the one that brought it. Our job is not to change it. Our job is not to add to it. Our job is not to water it down to help solve, ease people's feelings. And it's everybody wants to do that. They did that when I was growing up. And little boy, I remember one time we had a little five-year-old boy in Shawnee, Oklahoma. There was a terrible accident and a tractor rolled over and killed him. And I was pretty young myself. I was about 11, I think, 10 or 11. And I happened to be at that funeral. And of course, I understand everyone's hurting. And, you know, they're trying to... I mean, it's horrible, horrible. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's really what happened. But that wasn't anything in the message. You just make up stuff, you know. And they were saying, well, God looked down from heaven. And he saw our little, I don't remember his name, Timmy. Whatever his name was. He looked around his garden and he needed another flower. And he saw our little Timmy. And that's just the flower that he wanted. So God plucked that little flower. Even as an 11-year-old boy, I remember thinking. I didn't say it out loud. Thank God my dad would have smacked me. But I remember thinking, God comes down from heaven and kills little 5-year-old boys just because he wants to? See, that's what the guy said. But he didn't say it in those words. That kind of, you know, if you grow up with that, which I did, you talk about strongholds, makes you wonder about God, you know. God had nothing to do with any of that. God didn't kill that boy, but he sure received him. I'll tell you that for sure. But anyway. Say it with me again. Whatever I ask in his name, that will he do. If I ask anything in his name, he does it. I don't have to do it. He does it. He gave me his word. He promised. He cannot lie. My job is to believe the gospel. His job is to perform the gospel. Did you get that? Did you get that? The Lord, say it with me. The Lord works with me as I preach the word. And he confirms the word with signs following. Every time. Because he cannot lie. And he cannot negate his word. God will not change his word. God is looking all over the world. Looking for people who will believe his word. Say, you found me. You found me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So I've been meditating along this line. Go ahead and turn into Acts chapter 14. And we'll start in verse 7 in a minute. I was coming back from Iowa, actually. Coming back from a funeral. I didn't minister at the funeral, but he was such a close friend and had helped us for many, many years. His brother's in the audience here today. And on this side of the veil, we don't understand why he died. One of the strongest Christians I've ever known in my life. He led his own mother to the Lord. Come on. You know, led his own mother to the Lord. There was over 100 people at that funeral. And it's a small little town where he lives. This is a believer. He'd been to many of the conferences, supported Dave's ministry, helped us financially. He said the right thing. We don't know on this side. I can't tell you. I can't find any reason. We don't know. Dave taught a message at a funeral one time like that. And he says, you know, inside every person, there's a whole universe where it's just you and the Lord. Says, we may never know on this side, But now he's with the Lord and he knows. Okay? Now that being beside the point, I'm driving back from Iowa just praying, listening. To be honest with you, I felt a little bit like a sheep eating dog. Because I know that the man shouldn't have died. I know that if I was believing like as a minister of God I'm supposed to be, I should have been able to stop that cancer right in its tracks. Because I know it has no power over the name of Jesus. And I'm not willing to change my doctrine no matter how many experiences negative to the word that I see. It just makes me mad. It just makes me bore in like that prophecy. Bore in harder than ever before, you know. So we don't lose the next one. See? Man, I'm praying and I'm listening. Wouldn't you be? You know, I'm driving back from up there. And I was thinking about that passage there in Mark where he says, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. And he asked me a question. He said, what word are you preaching that I can confirm with signs following? And I asked him for an example. And he brought me to Acts 14. Now, before, don't start. Hey, how did Dave used to say that? Now, if you haven't read it before now, why are you looking at your Bible when I'm talking to you? That's rude. Remember Dave used to say that all the time? In a minute, we'll all look at it. But hang on here just a minute. Y'all remember that from the early days? Praise God. I love it. Now, let me set it up a little bit. Lystra. This is an event that took place in Lystra. Lystra is in Turkey. Okay? Lystra is not part of Jerusalem. It's not part of Judea. They don't know anything about the law of Moses. In that city, they worship Jupiter and Mercury. You can read it. This is as pagan as you get. They don't know Jesus' name from come here or sick 'em. They don't know. They know Jupiter. I got all kinds of stories and doctrine about Jupiter and Mercury. It's pagan, Gentile. They don't know nothing. Are you ready? With that thinking in mind, Paul comes to preach the gospel. So look at Acts 14, verse 7. And there they preach the what? All right, the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. Now notice, being a cripple from his mother's womb. Say out loud with me, birth defect. You know, to be sick and be healed is one thing. That's usually a short period of time. But when you're born crippled, you'll find out later this guy was, he's not just a young man, he's about 40 years old. When you're born that way and you have never walked, you've never walked, does that create any strongholds in your mind that you'll probably never walk? Plus, see, I had polio when I was 5 years old and I was paralyzed on my right side for 6 months. I was so paralyzed I couldn't even open or close my eyelids. They had to close it for me. And during that 6 months, I had so much muscle atrophy on the right side of my body. Even though they would work my little legs and work my arms and everything, still, at the end of that 6 months, there was so much atrophy. And that was only after 6 months. I can't imagine. Can you imagine the bird legs this guy had to have? 40 years old, or that never has walked from his mother's room. Can you imagine? Little bird legs. Now watch. So there's a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. Let me ask you, what was Paul speaking? The gospel. All right, Paul's preaching the gospel. This fella is hearing the gospel that Paul is speaking, and he's never heard it before. There's never been, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, Goliath and David. He's never heard nothing, except this guy's preaching the gospel. And watch the effect. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, he sure didn't have faith to be healed before Paul got there. He wasn't walking before Paul got there. How does faith come? faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or in this case, we could say, faith comes by hearing the gospel. Paul's preaching the gospel. He's sitting there hearing the gospel. And as he's listening, faith is coming into this guy who has never walked. And by a word of knowledge, I presume the Holy Spirit lets Paul know that guy's got enough faith to be healed. And so Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Do you think that's possible on bird legs? I think the Lord was working with his word, confirming the word with signs following. I don't think he could have leaped. If it just said he stood up, maybe on bird legs. Leaping? Come on. The Lord is there with his power. It's the Holy Ghost manifesting his power. And I've been analyzing this ever since. Now, what's amazing to me, as far as I can tell, this is the first message that Paul preached at Lystra. You know, it's not a salvation message in the sense that we normally think of it. He's getting signs and wonders as the hook. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, "Signs and wonders are the dinner bell of God." That's how he rings the dinner bell. Come and dine. He gets their attention with signs and wonders. This guy didn't have faith to be born again, did he? It's not a trap. It doesn't say a thing about that. See, it's given me a whole new insight in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I can just see Jim Martin's wheels over there going, "What now? What?" Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul plainly says when he came to Corinth, he didn't know anything amongst them except Christ and him crucified. But he also says in that same chapter, "I didn't come with you enticing words of man's wisdom. I came to you with demonstration of the Spirit and in power, that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He showed them something. Then he told them about Christ crucified. See, that same Christ that was crucified for you to be born again, he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, and with his stripes you were healed. What do you think Paul was preaching that caused faith to come in the guy? He's sitting there. I've been analyzing this. I've been thinking about this. Now, trying to put myself in that same position now. Okay, I've been there my whole life. I've never walked. I've been crippled. Probably blame God. You know, why was I born this way? Nobody else born this way. Who knows? And I'm hearing this man speak. Now he's preaching the gospel. We're plainly told he's preaching the gospel. What was Paul saying? What do you say to a cripple? He had to be talking about Jesus, the name that's above every name. He probably said something like, "God has justified his son Jesus and has raised him from the dead, has set him at his own right hand and given him a name that's above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord over all sickness. He's Lord over all devils. He's Lord over everything. And if you'll put your faith in him, Jesus Christ is alive and well. He has been raised from the dead and he will heal you today." Now that's just a little different than, "Well, we'll pray for Brother Smith. And if it be thy will." Oh, brother. So I made a little outline here. Number one, Paul preached the gospel. That's what was going on. There's 11 things here. Number two, I said it a different way. Paul preached the word. The gospel and the word, the same thing. Number three, the man heard the word that Paul preached. Number four, how did the man get faith to be healed? Number five, he heard the word that Paul preached. And I referenced there Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or you could say hearing the gospel. Paul perceived... And I put in parentheses, I'm pretty sure that's a word of knowledge, that the man had faith to be healed. Number seven, Paul spoke the command of authority. Stand upright on thy feet. Number eight, the man had no manifestation before Paul spoke the command. Can I say it another way? He had no evidence other than the word that he was believing. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Number nine, the man did the impossible, something he had never done in his entire life. Number 10, the man stood up when the circumstances and history, personal history, said it was impossible. Number 11, I'll read these again in a minute. The man released his faith by acting on the word of God, and his miracle was made manifest. That's the way we do it. That's the way you do it. You preach the word, the undiluted, pure gospel brought to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are currently in a state where we don't really believe that he'll do it, see, here's the thing. Well, what if I pray and he doesn't do it? Isn't that the definition of doubt? What if you could take anything and say that? My daughter Angie's here, which I love like crazy. She knows that. Wave, Angie. Everybody. Her and her husband years ago were going through a transition. They knew there was going to be a financial gap between paychecks, maybe several weeks. And we've all been there. I just love the way she said it. She said it better than I ever did. That's the reason I use these words. So they had saved up enough money because there was going to be like 3 weeks with no paycheck, right? But it wound up being like 5 weeks. And she came to me at one point and she said, Daddy, we were strong in faith while the money was there. Can't we all relate with that? That's it. I'm strong in faith. I always feel like fasting right after that noon meal. Fasting sounds good to me right then. I can preach it. Yeah. Alan, when he first... Alan, are you here? When he first came, I thought, the little arrogant rascal. I know better now. I knew better then. But he'd come up to me and say, I just want you to know something. I am an expert at 31-day fast. Well, la-dee-da, you know. Aren't you a little hot rod? He says, no, you didn't really hear me. He says, I am an expert at 31-day fast. They were supposed to be 30-day fast, but they wound up being a 1-day. I said, my brother, let me shake your hand. I know I met my brother now. Hallelujah. What if I pray? What if I ask in his name and he doesn't do it? That's the definition of unbelief. So my assignment, and I'm hoping your assignment, I'm going to take these kind of verses right now, these kind. And I'm going to, just like I did with everything else that I've ever done. Yes, sir. I think it's John 6. Go to John 6. Look at verse 28. The people said to Jesus... I'm still here, pages turning. I wonder how many more years we'll still have pages. Verse 28. Then said they unto him. Now notice how it's worded. I love this. What shall we do that we might work the works? Notice plural. The works of God. See how that's plural? What shall we do that we might work the works? Plural of God. They were asking multiple, but he answers in the singular. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, not works. We only have one thing that we have to work on. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. My job is to believe that this pure gospel that Jesus brought from the Father is absolutely the truth. That he cannot lie. He will not lie. Whatever he said, I can take it to the bank. If I ask in his name, he will do it. And I don't care if the next 72 people I lay my hands on die, I'm still going to be saying it. I'm going to be working on, one time on this very passage, the Lord said to me, he says, look, be honest with me. If you're presently in a state of unbelief, I already knew that. But he says, son, work on the part of you that doesn't believe until you do believe. That's what he means. That's the only work. There's nothing else to get involved. The only thing required, all things are possible to those who believe. So if there's something in you that says, oh, I'm afraid, I'd be afraid to pray that I'd pray in his name and he might not do it. Well, that's called unbelief. That's the definition of unbelief. Join the club. I don't know anywhere on planet Earth right now where I can take Lynn Perez's son, Tommy Perez, who has cerebral palsy. I believe that one is. Be the same if it was muscular dystrophy. You know, I've been there and prayed for him. Sue has been there and prayed for him. Our daughter Erin went with us. Christy Smith has been there. I don't know how many. We about rubbed the poor boy's hair off. And he's still in the wheelchair. And that's a crying shame. How many of you think if Jesus... Now, I want to ask you. You know and I know. If Jesus walked in the room, Tommy's coming out of the chair. Going to be set in his right mind. And Tommy's going to have the rest of his life to give his testimony about what great things the Lord has done for him. All right? And the Word is not going to change. Jesus is not going to change. Thank God I can change. And I can work on the part of me that doesn't believe until I do believe. So I'm going back to it. I've got my verses out. I've got them ready. It's the ones we just looked at. I spend hours now. Hours. Walking the floor. Just saying it again. Worshiping him at the same time. Jesus, you cannot lie. The works that you did, I do also. Greater than these I do because you're with the Father. Whatever I ask in your name, Jesus, you do it. Everything I ask in your name, you do it. Every single time. Lord, I preach your word, your undiluted word, just exactly the way that you brought it to us. And I preach your word. And Lord, every time, you confirm the word with signs following. It's every time. It's not once in a while. It's every time. And I spend time in fellowship with your Spirit, Lord, so I can be led by you and not go off into presumption in my own will. But Lord, I'm always directed by your Spirit. I'm always where I need to be, doing what I should be doing. Just like Bronk was talking about, being in the hospital at the right time, at the right place. We're in for a wonderful time. We're in for a wonderful time. But I'm telling you young people, I always look this way. Young people. What a great life you had ahead of you. I was 45 years old the day that I walked through the doors of this church and began hearing the teachings of Dave Roberson. Some of you are so young, I just need to... Some of you are younger than my favorite cereal bowl. That is the truth, because I had it when Sue and I got married, and we've been married 40 years. Okay? That, and the things that you know at your age, you should show us your dust. I'm excited about what's coming. Excited. But even those that are my age young. Hey, Bronk had a man. How old is that fellow that preached in your church the other day? 90?
This month he turns 90.
This month the man turns 90. He was sharp. Bronk told me about it. I said, please send me that message. I wanted to hear it. And I'm listening to this guy. Now, he does sit in a chair. And he says at 90 years old, he's earned that right. I thought that was perfect. You know, so he sat in the chair while he taught. Well, fine. I'm listening to the... Hey, his voice was strong. Personality. He could tell you'd really just love this guy. Oh, the love for Jesus just oozed from him. And he taught a really good message. So 90, let's see. 68, 78, 88. Just that alone's almost another quarter century I get to preach. You know? And with more signs and wonders than we've ever seen before. Say it with me. Signs and wonders are God's dinner bell. Signs and wonders gets the attention of the world. Then they can hear the gospel and be saved. And he's reminding me of one more quote that I have queued up here. Many of you know that Smith Wigglesworth is one of my personal heroes. I like reading after people that got it to work. And some of you may not know who Smith was. He went to be with the Lord the same year I was born. And I'm always thinking there's a reason for that. But anyway, I would like to think that. But anyway, it's probably just wishful thinking. But anyway, I really admire. And see, religion, the common thing that says, well, yes, Gary, that was a fine message. They went everywhere preaching the word and the Lord confirming it with signs following. But Brother Gary, that was only for the apostles. So this is a quote from chapter 2 of Smith Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith. It's a collection of his sermons. He didn't actually write the book, but they just transcripts of his sermons and they put it in a book form. So this isn't very long. What would Dave have thought the first time that he read from his dreaded yellow pad? That I'd be reading from the dreaded black iPod, you know, or iPad. Anyway, chapter 2, quoting Smith Wigglesworth. He says, our precious Lord Jesus has everything for everybody. Forgiveness of sin, healing of diseases, and the fullness of the Spirit all come from one source, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as he announces the purpose for which he came. And he quotes here from Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Smith continues, Jesus had been baptized by John in Jordan, and the Holy Spirit had descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Being full of the Holy Ghost, he had been led by the Spirit into the wilderness, there to come off more than a conqueror over the arch enemy. Then he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee and preached in the synagogues. And at last he came to his old hometown, Nazareth, where he announced his mission in the words I have just quoted. For a brief while, he ministered on the earth, and then gave his life a ransom for all. But God raised him from the dead. And before he went to glory, he told his disciples that they too should receive the power of the Holy Ghost upon them. Thus, through them, his gracious ministry would continue. Before I read the rest of it, say this. Say, the Holy Ghost has come upon me, so that through me, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ can continue. This power of the Holy Ghost was not only for a few apostles, but even for them that are far off, even as many as our God should call, even for us in this 20th and 21st century. Some ask, but was not this power just for the privileged few in the first century? No. Read the Master's Great Commission as recorded by Mark, and you will see it is for them that believe. Hallelujah. That's Smith Wigglesworth. It's a man. He would pray for people had cancerous tumors, and they'd fall off on the floor right in front of all the people. We're in for a great time. Now, this is my first closing. No, really, I'm closing. Sue had a somewhat of a dream. Sometimes you don't know if it's a dream or a vision exactly. But she saw this last night, and she I believe it's the mind of the Lord. Now that we've had this lesson about his word and his power, and he cannot lie, she saw each of us taking maybe one name or two names, somebody you know that's a critical case that needs, maybe they need salvation, maybe they need healing, maybe they need to be set back in their right mind. But she saw all of us using our faith, taking a few moments and writing out those names, a name on a piece of paper, God, you know, God knows it anyway. It's a point of contact for us. But she said, I saw the people writing out the names. You can, if you don't have anything to write on, you could even take some of these envelopes out of the buckets at the end of the aisle. Somebody might give you a piece of paper if you ask. And just write it out and come put them in this prayer box here. I mean, so let's just take a few moments and just, Father, right now while we're in this attitude, Lord, since you gave this dream, you gave this vision, we know already that you're eager to answer these prayers, eager to manifest these things, to manifest your word, your gospel in the lives of these people. So, Father, in all obedience to your Spirit, we're doing as you said. I'm going to give you plenty of time. We're not in any hurry. When you're ready, just go ahead and bring them up. There's no set order. Just bring them up. Put them in that slot right there. And if we run out of space, if it overflows, I think that'll bless God. Can I throw one at you? Prayers that remain thoughts do not get answered. They need to be prayed. Someone asked me one time, they asked Dave, it's a common question, they said, can you just think in tongues? Well, you can. But see, it doesn't say, he that thinks in an unknown tongue. It doesn't, does it? No, he that speaks. There's a release of authority when you use your lips on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Yes, please, play. That'd be great. Hallelujah. Now say it with me. Whatever I ask in His name, He will do it. He told us to pray this way. What things soever we desire, when we pray, our job is to believe that we receive them and we shall have them. Father, we have offered unto you these petitions. We know that when we ask anything that's according to your will, that you hear us. And our confidence is, if you hear us, then we have the petition that we desire of you. Father, thank you for answering these prayers. We're going to treat you like you're real. Like you heard us this time. We're not going to ask again. Because all of heaven is already at work manifesting those answers. And we're not going to wait till we see it. We're going to worship you now for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. You're the God that hears and answers prayer. You're the great Jehovah, the Almighty God, Yahweh, Jesus, the Word of God that cannot lie. And we have those things that we desire of you. We have those things, and we thank you for it now in Jesus' name.